things ever written in the Bible, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Isn't that a marvelous passage? Beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for the mourning, for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want to speak this morning from that passage. Father, bless our message today. The only sermon my people will get to hear on March 13, 1983, in the morning time. If I'm not a blessing, they won't have a blessing from a preacher today. I pray you'd help me. But Lord, they'll not get a blessing unless they listen. And so I pray you'd help them, that we together might be strengthened in our God. Amen. I was sitting in a church a few weeks ago. Another speaker was speaking before me, and I was sitting in the congregation, and we were singing a song we don't sing too much. As a boy, you'd sing it. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart. Remember that sweetest note in Sarah's song? Sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. And right beside me was a lady. Between the lady and me was her little girl. We were singing, the great physician now is near. And the little girl didn't know the words, and she was singing, the great magician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. You know, by the time we got through the song, in the afternoon, I was singing, the great magician now, and that may be the best words, the great magician. You've heard about the little girl, went to see a magician, and he made a rabbit come out of a hat, and he changed this to that. And the little girl said, that's not anything. She said, Jesus can beat that. She said, Jesus came to our house and got my daddy saved and said, Jesus turned whiskey bottles into little shoes and toys. And Jesus turned wine bottles into little dresses for me. And Jesus changed my daddy and made him a new man completely. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the great magician. When I thought about the great magician, I thought of this passage. Beauty for ashes. I never saw a magician make ashes pretty. You'll never do that, except the Lord Jesus said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. And this entire verse is a wedding passage. You know, I like weddings. I'm a weddingaholic. I love weddings. I just like weddings. I like the songs at weddings. Because you come to me with naught save love. And I love you truly, and the fight is on, and other songs that we sing. At weddings. But I love weddings. I never get over it. When all of a sudden they start playing the wedding march and all of us turn and look right up there and out comes a beautiful bride. Sometimes a crown or a diadem of some kind on her head. Always a lovely wedding gown. And then marching as royalty to her king at the altar. As we look and pray and smile and weep at the same time. This verse is a wedding verse. When it says beauty for ashes, it's talking about a crown. The word beauty there is the word a crown for ashes, a diadem. God said, give me your ashes. I'll make a crown out of them and put it on your head. The crown like a bride wears sometimes. You've seen the little diadem or crown the little bride wears sometimes. And the Lord said, give me your ashes. I'll give you a crown for the diadem of a bride. Then when he said the oil of joy for mourning, he's talking about the sweet-smelling perfume of a bride. In the old days, they had a mixture of oil and myrrh and so forth. And they'd anoint the bride with that oil and myrrh because she was becoming royalty. She was becoming somebody's queen. And, the fragrance of that oil mixed with myrrh. And so the Lord said, bring me your ashes. I'll give you a crown for it. like a bride would wear at her wedding. Bring me your mourning. I'll give you the oil of joy. And then he said, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. That's the wedding gown. Lord said, has your life been burned? Something in your life burned up? And he said, bring me ashes. I'll give you the veil and the diadem. He said, bring me your mourning. He said, I'll give you in the place for that mourning. I'll give you the oil of joy and the sweet-smelling fragrance of a bride. And then he said, bring me your heaviness and your burden and your heartache and your tears. And he said, I'll make a wedding gown out of that. And for this morning, I want to pick out the line that says, beauty for ashes. By the way, this is a part of the passage that Jesus used in his first sermon. When he preached in his synagogue, he started off with Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And verse 3 follows verse 2. That's a great statement. And in case you don't know, verse 4 follows verse 3. But verse 3 follows that statement about the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And on it goes. Our Lord preached this for his first message. And so you look, a lovely bride, as her majesty strolls toward her king. And what is the material made of? Ashes. God says, bring me your ashes. God doesn't say, bring me. There's a number one oak, number one pine. God doesn't say, bring me a maple or your birch. God doesn't say, bring me a silver and your gold. God doesn't say, bring me your diamonds. God doesn't say, bring me your emeralds and your topaz. God doesn't say, bring me your riches. God doesn't say, bring me your gems. God doesn't say, bring me your treasures. God said, bring me your ashes, and I'll make a crown out of them for you. That's what he says. I'm talking to somebody this morning, some poor, sinful, humiliated soul. And this is what it said. Some poor, sinful, humiliated soul comes to God with a life of ashes. And this one comes, and her penitence flings her ashes of a wasted life toward heaven. And as those ashes fly toward heaven, and of a wasted and burned life, all of a sudden they begin to settle. And they settle on her brow. But look, they're sparkling like diamonds now. Those aren't ashes. Those are diamonds. That's a diadem. And God said, I don't need your jewels. I don't need your emerald. I don't have to have your topaz. I don't need your diamonds. I don't need your chalcedony. I just want the ashes of your life. And God said, I'll take the ashes of your life. I'll make you a crown, make you royalty. I'll make you as lovely as a bride, make you smell like the sweet ointment of the wedding altar. And God said, I'll make you have a wedding gown. Now, what do you use? I'll use mourning. What do you use? I'll use grief. What do you use? I'll use tears. What do you use? I'll use ashes. I'm talking to somebody this morning who has ashes of burned dreams. I'm talking to some lady, young lady, who dreamed of getting married. I'm talking to numbers of the sweetest ladies in this room. And we sometimes jokingly say, and she's an old maid. No, Dr. Bill Rice used to say, anybody could have gotten married if she'd have settled what your husband settled for. And no, I'm saying that I'm talking to somebody this morning. And that somebody had dreams. And you had someday walking an aisle and a wedding gown and the man of God's choosing and you're choosing at the altar. And the songs, and the attendants, and the flowers, and the reception, and the honeymoon, and maybe a dream of a home, and children, and grandchildren, and you had dreams like that. Hadn't worked out that way for you. It just seems like that now you're getting 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years old, and Mr. Wright never came along. And you've had to take those dreams and burn them, and now you're going to spend the life you lie alone, and they're burned. God says, bring those ashes to me. I'll make you a queen. I'll make you royalty. I'll give you oil of gladness for those, for your mourning. And I'll give you a wedding gown for your sorrow and for your heaviness. And this morning God looks out and says, bring me your ashes, and I'll give you beauty for them. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Life's dreams have not become reality for you. You had a dream of a happy marriage. You fell in love. You had a wedding. And children came, and yet never worked out that way for you. Maybe the tempter came, or sin came, or something came and your marriage is not what you thought it'd be. And then one day at the divorce court, then, now, bring the children by yourself, maybe, and all those dreams, and your dreams of your youth have been burned, and ashes have gone heavenward. God said, bring them to me. Listen, I want to tell you something, folks. When nobody wants you, Jesus wants you. When nobody else will have you, Jesus have you, won't want you, and he'll have you. Maybe it's too late now. Maybe, dear lady, sin has made his mark on your brow, and your brow is furrowed, and the crow has planted his feet on your beside your eyes, and that sweet, smooth complexion is now sort of rough complexion, and your neck is sort of getting little flabby here, and you wear a little higher dresses than collars than you used to wear, and your hands have those little spots that my hands have on them there. By the way, olive oil doesn't do any good. What's the other stuff they try? Huh? Porcelana doesn't work. I took 2 teaspoons full a day, and doesn't work. And there. And porcelain doesn't work. And maybe that graceful walk that you used to have, maybe the steps are unsure now, and that straight back is a little bit bold now. And maybe that schoolgirl figure. Maybe instead of a schoolgirl figure, maybe it's sort of like a zero now. And the years have come, and they've taken their toll. And maybe the devil is, he wanted you. He lured you. He said, I want you. Yeah, he wants you when your face is smooth and soft. He doesn't want you when your face is wrinkled. He wants you when your step is sure and sprite. He doesn't want you when you wobble and have to use a cane. But I got news for you. Jesus wants you. He wants you when the world doesn't want you and spit you out and says, we took you and wooed you and used you, and now we don't want you anymore. The Lord Jesus said, bring me your ashes. I'll give you beauty for them. I'll put a crown on that graying head. I'll put a joy on that body that's tired. And I'll put a wedding gown on the body that's weary from many years of toil. God said, I want you. I want you. He said, bring me ashes. Bring me the leftovers. Bring what you have. Bring me your old, and bring me your weary, and bring me your tired, and bring me your sinful, and bring me your forgotten, and bring me your forlorn, and bring those from the rest homes, and bring those that can't hear, and bring those that are blind, and bring those from the rescue mission, and bring those that are retarded, and bring those that are unhappy, and bring those whose dreams have vanished, and that the fire of life has burned and left nothing but ashes. God said, devil doesn't want you anymore, I'll take you. God said, when sin has chewed you up and spit you out, and the tavern won't let you dance anymore, and your body can't be stripped down so men can lust after it, and when your face is not smooth and your hair no longer flows down in the middle of your back, you no longer have a schoolgirl figure, God said, I want you anyhow. This morning I walk up and down these aisles this morning, if I could, and I'd hold my arms out and say, there's a God in heaven that says, he doesn't say, bring me your youth. He'll take you in your old age. He doesn't say, bring me your health. He'll take you when you're sick. He doesn't say, bring me your strength. He'll take you when you're weak. He doesn't say, bring me your fame. He'll take you when you're unpopular. He doesn't say, bring me your success. He'll take you when you've been a failure. And God comes this morning and walks up and down these aisles and says, I got some beauty. Anybody got any ashes? Anybody got any ashes? Ashes of a burned dreams? God says, I'll give you beauty and make you like a bride. I'm talking about somebody this morning who dreamed of success. I'm talking about a man in childhood. You dream maybe of your own business. You dream of a college education, maybe. Maybe you saw yourself with a stethoscope around your neck, or standing in a courtroom pleading somebody's case. Or maybe you saw yourself as a businessman. Or maybe you saw your name on the shingle and you had dreams and plans. And yet, life never did. Maybe you got married. And then you got married, a child came along. And maybe the child had some disease and you had to spend every dime on the doctor bills and hospital bills. Or maybe your wife got some disease and maybe you had to get an extra job and moonlight at night. And all those dreams, all of a sudden, they were just burned up, and up into ashes they went. I was talking the other day. Several years ago, at St. Margaret's Hospital, to an old man, and I said, "Sir, are you saved?" And he said, "Oh, the old school, you know, the kind that always took care of himself, never sought counsel from anybody, and the king at the throne at his table. The old school. God, give us more of those old-fashioned men. And the guy that sat at the table as a king. And so he was sitting up in his room, and the nurse said he had cancer and couldn't live very long. And I said, sir, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, sir, Reverend, I don't. And I said, God loves you. Wouldn't you like to trust Jesus? And the old man sat up in bed. And he said, Reverend, he said, I'm not going to live my life for the devil and then come to God begging for mercy when I now that I'm old and dead. I didn't live for God when I was well. I won't live for God when I'm sick. He said, I didn't live for God when I was living. I'm not going to. He said, I'm an honorable man. I believe in being honest, and I don't believe in getting something you don't deserve. He said, I haven't deserved to be saved. And he said, I won't be saved now that I'm old. He said, I'm not going to bring a bunch of ashes to God and let God have them when my life is all over. And I said, but sir, that's what God wants. God wants your ashes. God didn't say he'll give you beauty for pine. God didn't say he'll give you beauty for white birch. God didn't say he'll give you beauty for early American bedroom suit. God didn't say he'll give you beauty for Duncan Fife. God didn't say he'll give you beauty for French Provincial. God said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. I mean, when everything else is gone. Health is gone and life is gone and dreams are gone. All the air castles you built have been burned. They lie in a heap and the ashes sprinkled toward the sky. God said, let me have those ashes. I make crowns out of those. And I'll place a crown on your head and sweet-smelling oil of gladness on your body, and I'll put over your shoulders, I'll drape over your shoulders a royal gown, and I'll place, make you a bride, beautiful as a bride, with a sweet odor of a bride, with a diadem of a bride. I'll do it for ashes, God said. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You walked down the aisle when you were a youngster, and you said, dear Lord, I'm going to be pure when I walk the aisle and get married. I'm going to walk the aisle a virgin. I'm going to save myself for the man of your choosing, or for the girl of your choosing, I'm going to save myself. But the tempter came, or the temptress came, and wicked hands touched excited places, and all of a sudden you gave your purity. And you said, oh, what can I do? My dreams of being a pure bride, they've all gone up into ashes. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. Look, folks, look at me. I'm not preaching this morning to you. I'm loving you. Listen to me now. Listen to me. None of our lives work out like we wish they would. None of us. None of us has had all of our dreams of childhood realized. All of us have had plans that have gone astray and gone awry. None of us has it just right. Don't despair. Okay. Your home didn't, marriage didn't work out. Okay, your plans have gone up in the air, burned up by misfortune. Okay, the child, the daughter you had hoped for, she's not what your dream should be, and your heart is broken. And there you sit this morning with a whole lifetime of plans and dreams. All of us have some that we had as a child that have been burned up. But God said, you don't have to be perfect to come to me. Bring me your ashes, he says. Bring me what's left. That's what he said. Bring what's left. Do you have 60 years left in your life? God said, bring it to me. If you burned up 20, God said, I'll take the ashes and I'll make you a king for the other 60. God said, have you burned up 40? You got 30 left? See, he's scoring 10. I'll take what you got left. God said, are you on your deathbed? Bring what you've got. Bring what you've got. I'll make it. I'll take the ashes and make a life. Twice in my life, I've sat beside a bride. I'm sorry, a future bride. I've sat beside a young lady twice in my life that had her wedding gown in her arms like this. One young lady's young fiancé had taken a serious illness and died within a month before the wedding took place. Another had a fiancé with an accident, was killed just a few days before the wedding. And twice, I've sat beside a lovely young lady with her wedding gown in her arms and preparing to go to the funeral service for a fiancé. A wedding gown she'd never wear. A marriage she'd never know. A fiancé she loved and now he's gone.
And I've had them twice. I've seen them hold those wedding gowns in their arms and tears on down their cheeks. And I've heard them say, "Preacher, every dream I've had is gone. All my air castles are crumbled. All my hopes are burned. I have nothing left." Okay. That's the kind Jesus wants. He wants you when you have nothing left. Oh, let me tell you, in His lifetime while He was here, I don't find any record of our Lord ever being honored at the palace of the king. I find no record of our Lord ever being applauded in the Senate chambers. I find no record of our Lord ever going to a debutante's party. He who walked the shores of Galilee, He who was wearied beside the well, He who was comforted in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. What was His life spent doing? Huh? A blind man beside the road of Jericho, and a fallen woman at noonday beside Sychar's well, and a wild man running through Gadaris, tombstones of a cemetery, and poor little children. Our Lord Jesus spent His life taking ashes and making beauty out of them. The great magician now is near. You say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved." Then God will take your ashes and give you beauty for them. But you say, "Preacher, I'm living in sin. I'm away from God. I've wandered far away from God." God says, "Bring me your ashes then. Bring them to me." But you say, "Lord, God, Brother House, I don't have anything to give God. I don't have the beauty I once had. My voice that once was so beautiful in music, it's gone now." I know a friend who's been my friend for many years. When he was 25, I met him. Don't think I ever heard a voice quite like his. I don't think anybody ever thrilled me quite as much as his voice thrilled me. Now the years have taken their toll. Revival crusades, campaigns, and his voice is pretty well gone now. And I was with him a few months ago, and he sang. I sat there and thought, thank God for Jesus. He sang, and he couldn't hit the high notes he used to hit. And his voice, like my speaking voice, is gravelly now while he sings. And I wandered back in my mind 25, 30, 35 years ago nearly, when I first heard him sing. I'll never forget. And that beautiful, clear voice. And my mind wandered back to campaigns we've had together across this country when he thrilled and blessed thousands of people. And I got to thinking, thank God it's for Jesus in the world. Nobody wants him now. And your voice is gone. The young people, the devil says, bring me your smooth skin. When it's wrinkled, I'll cast out. Bring me your talented voice. When it cracks, you're gone. Bring me your health. And when you're sick, get out of my way. The world comes and says, bring it to me, and I'll use you and let you go. But Jesus said, I'll take what you got. Just let me have what you have. He said, you have ashes. He said, I'll give you beauty for it. He said, you have mourning. I'll give you the oil of joy for it. You have the spirit of heaviness. I'll give you a wedding gown for it. Ashes of a burned life. She said, as she sat in my office, you know, to me, there's nothing more beautiful. Listen now. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman when she gets older whose beauty of youth was not dependent upon the drugstore but upon the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And that smile, age cannot erase. I'm talking about some of these dear, old saints of God in this room this morning. I thought about you early this morning and last night and through the week. I thought about you as I think about this scripture. So many of you, some of the most beautiful ladies in this room are 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90 years of age. You know why? Because they didn't depend when they were 25 and 30 and 35 on Avon calling.
There's going to come a day, honey, when Avon ain't going to call. And if she calls, you can't hear the doorbell. Do you ever
see maybe somehow in a motel room I have? Do you ever see some of these old movie stars interviewed? I'm talking about Claudette Colbert. I'm talking about Mae West. I'm talking about Barbara Stanwyck. You know, this old gal, it was my heartthrob when I was 13. And then here she's going to be interviewed. Boy, I'm in the room. I want to see her. And there she hobbles out. And I remember, good night. Nobody wants you then. Oh, yeah, somebody does want you. She sat in my office. She must have been 50 years old. And she had, obviously, you could see through the facade that years had done and the marks that years had made. You could see that one time she was a beautiful young lady. And she said, preacher, she said, I was a beautiful young lady. I was the most beautiful girl in the senior class. I won the beauty contest. But she said, preacher, I'm old now, and nobody wants me. And I said, yes, somebody does want you. Jesus says, bring me your ashes. Bring me your ashes. But there's another crowd this morning I want to talk to for a minute. Not only that crowd of ashes of burned dreams and burned plans and a burned life, but I want to talk about the ashes of a burned out life. The other day I was watching George Hewson Gay. I looked carefully and saw a crown on his brow. If you'll look carefully this morning, you'll see a beautiful crown on my mother's head. I think I see one sparkling back around Mrs. Bartels this morning. Their gray heads and hoary heads have been made into crowns of glory. And their weary bodies now, they've been burned up for Jesus. And I don't know of any more wonderful thing in the world do than just burn up for Jesus. Just burn up for Jesus. I watched a generation of men burn out for God. I watched a generation of preachers burn out for God. I've watched men who nobody knew rise in the eyes of men. And some of the giants of the faith I knew when they had little country churches or trying to find a church somewhere. And I watched a generation of men who've given their all to God and they burned out. God said, I want to place a crown of royalty on your head. You go to you want to see royalty, you go to some Christian rest home. I was preaching down the other day in Florida. Old preacher. I called his name. Most of you know him. He's getting up close to 90 now. At least he was when I saw him. He sat back in the back and came to hear me preach. And while I was preaching, tears began to stream down his cheeks. And I got a little excited. And while I got excited, he began to wiggle in his seat. He wanted to get up. He wanted me to sit down. He wanted to take my place. Say, did you ever eat an imperial margarine? I haven't even thought about this right now. It's one of those things that wasn't planned. This is filler. Jerry eating imperial margarine. Huh? You know what happened to you, don't you, Doc? I was sitting in a restaurant the other day in a hotel, and I ate one little patty of imperial margarine. And all of a sudden, my head felt like something heavy was on it. Felt up there? There's a crown there. You know why? Ate imperial margarine. I tell you how you can get a crown there. Burn out for Jesus. Burn out for Him. Oh, listen, I said a while ago, and I'm through. I said a while ago, God wants you and nobody wants you. And the truth is, as I said, none of us has had all the dreams. Doc, there's some dreams you had that have not materialized. You never planned Mrs. Evans getting cancer. You never said when you were a boy, I want to get married and my wife have cancer someday. You never said that.
You had dreams of her being well and strong. Hadn't worked out that way, has it? No, doesn't always work out that way. And all over this room this morning, brethren, all in this section up here, all over the house this morning, the truth is, none of us could stand up and say, every dream I had as a child, every dream I had as a youth is reality. It's all worked out just like I... Nobody can say that. Last 10 seconds, I've seen a dozen divorce people who didn't want divorce. But divorce came. I don't look very far without seeing people with whom I've stood beside a casket here, a little baby there in the casket. The parents come by and look at that little life and the dreams. A match was taken, and all the dreams all burned up at one time. And nothing's left but ashes. God says, let me have your ashes. I'll give you beauty for them. God said, let me have what's left. By the way, I won't tell you. If the devil hadn't spewed you out, he will. And if the world has not yet gotten ready, tired of you, and used you for all she can get for... Listen. There is not an institution in this city that'll want you when you're not usable, except the institution you're sitting in right now. You think that the tavern down here on the corner, you think it sends a check every month to its old bartenders? Huh? You think the guy that ran that tavern down there gets a check? They don't care about the old bar. Let him go to hell as far as they're concerned. We used him and we're through with him. But thank God the Church of Jesus Christ is not through with you. And neither is our Savior. Neither is our Savior. Bring him your leftovers. Bring him the ashes. And say, Lord, I had a bunch of dreams. I had so many things I'd planned to do and so many things I'd planned to be. But, Lord, they're all gone now. No hope. All I got's a bunch of burned air castles. Lord said, I've been a little short on material that I make crowns for. I've been needing some ashes lately. And they haven't. You give the ashes and they go toward the sky. And between here and heaven, God reaches out and turns them into diamonds and sprinkles them back down on your brow. And all of a sudden, the ashes become a diadem on your brow. And God said, give me some more of those ashes. And the ashes of broken dreams and broken plans, they ascend toward the sky. And God gets them. And God says, makes it a royal robe and drops it back on your shoulders. All because you give God your ashes. The great magician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Say to boys, when the tavern's all through with you, those strong, broad shoulders have become drooped like many of ours. And when those smooth faces have become a little flabby and wrinkled and the brows furrowed and the crow's feet have invaded your temples, and nobody else wants you, don't you forget, Jesus wants you. I dare you folks over here in the Educable Slough, I dare you to go out and try to find a job tomorrow. I dare you. Now, go try to find a job. Try to find somebody that cares for you. But in First Baptist Church of Heaven, the retarded people have a special honored section. You know why? Because Jesus says, I want your ashes. I want your ashes. If nobody wants you, he wants you. All week I've been singing, oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the way grows weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares. Friday night, I flew out late Friday afternoon to Denver. Was met there, driven to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I've never preached inside the city limits of Colorado Springs before. Then, as soon as service over, driven 2 hours back to the Denver airport, and then stayed there in California, got back in here yesterday. But in Colorado Springs, they were so glad to see me. So many folks there never seen me. They'd heard about me. And, of course, when you hear about somebody like you want to see them. And they were so pleased to find out that their dreams were more than fulfilled in my beauty. But a great crowd was there. And folks couldn't pack the building and no aisles and the altar all filled. Had closed circuit folks heard on loudspeaker system in one of the Sunday school classrooms and down the hallways. As I went to bed in Denver, I said, Lord, the day's going to come when I'll be an old man. The day's going to come when nobody's going to want me to preach anymore. The day's going to come when I won't be welcome like this and won't be in some ways a little tiny bit like a celebrity sometimes. And I said, dear God, I'm thankful that the throne of grace will always have its arms out. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The great magician now is near. He's sitting right beside you this morning. He's got a deal he wants to make with you. He says, hey, I got a deal. I've got a royal crown. I'll trade you for some ashes. Father, thank you for your money.